Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, pay a decent amount of attention as we transition our focus to the NC State game this weekend. Recording a little bit later than we normally do. As a byproduct, we'll probably be a little more compact in the product and get this out to you as soon as possible for a Friday morning download or whatever it is that our listenership may come across it. So with that, eager to get your opinions on the NC State game. We'll have a real brief recruiting discussion as well, but why don't we go ahead and start this podcast where we do each week, and that is thanking the fine folks at Louisiana Hot Sauce.
That's right, Louisiana Hot Sauce. They're taking the chance on a Florida State podcast. I know they got a pretty big game in Louisiana this weekend as the Crimson Tide comes to town to take on the Bayou Bengals, but look, it's going to be hot all over college football, and good way to heat up your food a little bit is with some Louisiana Hot Sauce. I think we've chronicled almost every way to use Louisiana hot sauce so far on this podcast, at least for food purposes. Somebody did tweet us a really cool photo of like a gourmet burger they had made. It looked really delicious. I was actually hungry at the time and editing some video, so couldn't eat at the moment. And that looked really good. If you do that, if you tweet us at Nolcast and you also tag Louisiana hot sauce, that's pretty cool. Sponsors like feedback like that, and we certainly like feedback for our sponsors. So very much appreciated, guys.
Absolutely. My latest culinary adventure was getting drunk and putting hot sauce on a pizza, and I can confirm that that's damn good as well. So all over the spectrum, whether it's a gourmet burger or bad late night decisions with food, Louisiana hot sauce is there for you. And as we've always mentioned, it's probably about the most economical way to improve any meal. So, Bud, with that, let's turn our attention to NC State. We talked a little bit about some of our concerns as far as just how Florida State responds to the Clemson game and some of the challenges that they may face against UNC. And why don't we, I guess, go ahead and start the conversation when we turn our eyes to Raleigh is just some of the things that immediately jump off, in your opinion, as to how Florida State might run into some trouble with this game.
Sure, yeah. The spread is either 5 or 6, depending on when you listen to this podcast. 7 o'clock, ESPNU. Should be an interesting game. Ingram, Jimbo Fisher in the games not started by Jameis Winston, his teams have not done real well outside the state of Florida. Pretty disappointing overall record. You can look into that. Mm-hmm. A lot of their upset losses have come outside the state of Florida. And I think this week we have a very interesting emotional sort of situational setup, right? Because you have, in gambling terms, we would call this a letdown situation for Florida State. Previous week, you play a super emotional game. And now you're being asked to go pack it up and go on the road and get up for another game. And to fans at home, that seems really easy, but we all know it's not, and we know it's not because we've seen the evidence of this, not just Florida State, but at every team across the country. Letdown situations exist and are labeled as such because they're oftentimes a real thing. On the opposite side, if you take a look at NC State, back-to-back-to-back-to-back weeks, they went Notre Dame, at Clemson, at Louisville. Three really emotional, hard-fought games for them. They beat Notre Dame in a ridiculous mm-hmm. storm. They had actually been playing pretty darn well before the Notre Dame game. Then they lose very close to Clemson, 17-24 in overtime. They probably should have won that game by kicking a field goal to beat them. Certainly played Clemson about as well as anybody had until Florida State. And then the game at Louisville, they just get their doors blown off. I mean, 54-13, it was clearly a letdown situation for NC State. And last week, they let that carry over to Boston College. Now, if you're NC State, I think what you would call that Boston College game is a letdown look-ahead sandwich, right? You're coming off a really emotional loss to Louisville, after one to Clemson, I might add. And what do you have on the back end of that? Florida State, but you have this sandwich game at home. And the natural human tendency, I think, is to just not care about that one quite as much. And NC State messed around, and they probably should have won the game anyway, but they had some turnovers. They had some poor situational execution, and they ended up losing by a touchdown at home to Boston College, the first ACC win for BC in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that really has hurt their potential bowl hopes, man. Now, I mean, you got NC State should be really fired up for this. And I have a hard time thinking that Florida State is going to match NC State's intensity. So they're going to have to find ways to win the game that are not emotionally based.
Interesting. I'm really curious as to how NC State comes out, because you hear just things around that program where there's basically a lot of the fan base is more or less given up on their head coach, how the players will respond. I have no problem subscribing to any of the ideas and situations that you just discussed that surround games, but it certainly is a let down look ahead sandwich, as you first began talking about last week as well. When you lose to Louisville in the fashion that you did, and then you come back and respond to a game or to a team like Boston College and give them the chance to get their first win in 2 years in league, I have just as many questions about the focus and intensity that you'll get out of NC State as I do about Florida State as well. I guess having that be a night game is something that will help them. Having this be the game that potentially, you know, helps get their, I'm not going to save their season, but sends it back in the nice direction after what opening the season at 4-1. And anytime any team in the league plays Florida State, you're going to get their best effort. You're going to get a focus that you probably don't get against any other opponent. But I'm not fully confident that you'll see a team in NC State that's absolutely focused and will come out with an edge in just the mental intangibles of the game.
You know what? You very well might be right. I mean, this is a team that after losing Boston College, maybe they check out. You know, if Florida State goes in there and blows them out, in hindsight, I think that's what we're probably going to realize, right? That NC State has just kind of clocked out on this one, and that they're out of it. Now, I don't think that they're out of it for a bowl game. Like, they have four wins. They have Florida State, Syracuse, Miami, and UNC left. None of those games are
not
unwinnable.
Too hard to find two wins there.
I mean,
I agree completely.
Are any of those going to be a spread of more than, or are any of those going to be double digit spreads in either direction? I don't think so.
Maybe UNC, depending on what they do the rest of the year. But yeah, Miami and Syracuse certainly won't be. This does feel like the game that if Florida State could ever get its first quarter woes corrected. Then do it in this one. Do it in this one, and actually give yourself a chance to at the very least, if you're not going to put a team away, which I agree with what you said there. I think if you do happen to get up on them early, then that may be the quickest path to getting them to quit and confirming that perhaps they've checked out. But don't let this team, this program, and whatever that fan base looks like on Saturday night, don't at least make them earn the emotional buy-in if they're going to have that. Don't come out here, mess around, to make it as PG as possible, and look up at the scoreboard and see it's 14 freaking to nothing again. If you're this team, I know you're frustrated with season overall and a game last week that you certainly could have won, but I think you have a chance to at least rebound, play with a more focus, or at least with a take the positive from the Clemson game. Take the fact that you played that team the way that you did to the end of the game. And if you're a Florida State fan, and if you're hoping for some type of positive trajectory from this program, I think the first quarter of this game may give you pretty good insight as to where it's headed.
I'm right there with you on that. Certainly that's possible. Is it likely that Florida State comes out and plays well in the first quarter? Not based on the evidence. I mean, they've played, what, six Power 5 teams and have no touchdowns in the first quarter against any of them? I think last week we called them the worst first quarter offense in America, and I stand by that. They were bad. So you're right, though. You can't give this NC State team reason to believe. If you go in there and you get up early I think that's a team that you can make quit. The problem is that the if, and that there's not a whole lot of reason to think you're going to actually do that. You know, looking back here, check out these last couple games, Florida State, not, you know, like out of state road games, right? Louisville did not go so well. Last year at BC was a struggle, obviously. I mean, they actually scored on the opening drive there, I think, and then did nothing the rest of the day. Wake Forest was a single-score game. Georgia Tech you yep. lost. Mm-hmm. Clemson, you actually kept close for a decent amount, and then you lost by 10, but you actually covered that game because the spread was like 13. Back in 2012, these are non-Jameis games, by the way. And I'm not fully on board the whole Jimbo Fisher is a much different coach without Jameis thing because I feel like that undersells the pure talent that he had, that he had very much deserves credit for recruiting around Winston too. But to make my point, I'm going to do this. At NC State, lost as a 17-point favorite, 16-17. At Virginia Tech, actually won that game by 6, failed to cover, though. You were a 13-point favorite. At Maryland, failed to cover. You were a huge favorite in that game. Pretty obviously, they were not going to cover that, given that, you know, that was a bit of a sandwich spot between Va Tech and Florida there. You know, 2011, I mean, 2011 was not a very good year, so I'm guessing that it was not the best, not the best game. Yeah, look at that. At Clemson, lost. At Wake Forest, lost. Played pretty well at Duke, actually. They've not been a good road team outside of this state. Mm-hmm. Outside of Jameis. So when people say, why is this spread only 5 or 6? Hey, this is not a world beater Florida State team. I think it's better than its record shows because it's played a really tough schedule. But man, if you give pros like 7 or 8 points, they're going to jump all over that line because they know Jimbo Fisher's track record when he takes his team outside the state. And it's a bad one. It's a bad track record. So, you know, I guess we'll have to see. Heck, if you include some of the bowl games out of state, right? Those are with Winston, but got your doors blown off at Oregon. Played really poorly against Houston. Didn't cover against Auburn. The track record suggests you should expect a close game here, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to look at what you've seen and see them be able to do what I asked from them 5 minutes ago. It's hard to look at this team and have any amount of confidence that you're going to get a start that does anything other than just the kind of automatic default setting that appears to be the Florida State football team, where you look up and you're down 14-0. And how that happens is a conversation about some of the culture in the program and the things that they do as far as mindset and where they are entering a game. And it's not a conversation that is probably suitable for this evening, but it is, there is a much broader conversation, I think, as to why this team keeps coming out and why this team seems to have a, some type of collective mindset that it doesn't have to play a full game. And if it does seem to think it has to play a full game, it certainly hasn't displayed that in its level of play in quite a long time. But I don't want to get too micro with NC State, but let's do spend just 2 or 3 minutes talking about some of the playmakers that NC State has, some of the things that they may try to do offensively against Florida State. I know if you talk to anybody around that program, they're going to talk about the Jalen Samuels kid, quite the athlete, hasn't featured in their offense as much as he has, or as much as perhaps he should over the past couple of weeks. But that certainly will be someone that NC State has to get involved if they have a chance of beating Florida State, you would think anyway.
Yeah, very versatile kid. Look, NC State is going to try to run the football to stay on schedule using Matt Days and Jalen Samuels. They want to throw the ball to Jalen Samuels as well, get him involved in a lot of different ways. And then they want to take play-action shots. So far, their quarterback, Ryan Finley, has not necessarily been the best at keeping them on schedule. You know, his completion percentage has really fallen in recent weeks. Now, granted, some of that was that they actually played a game in a hurricane, and that really clearly hurt him quite a bit. But this team, if you look at it offensively, they've been very good, or pretty good, at you know, getting sort of smaller runs. But they've not really been able to break long runs too often. On the flip side, they've really not been very good at like third down passing, you know, where you need seven and you need to throw it for seven or eight. But they have done a pretty good job of hitting explosive plays. And I think there are some things to be taken away from that, and that is that that has the classic profile of a play-action team. Now, Ingram, not that you would ever want to play from behind, but if you did have to play from behind, is there a certain type of team that you really would not want to play? Like maybe it's a type of profile?
That you wouldn't want to play if you're behind? Yeah, I wouldn't want to play against a team that could have a controlling time of possession, keep the ball, keep your offense on the sideline type of team.
I completely agree with you there. Maybe one that could also take kind of key play action shots. So, by the way, I will say this. NC State's worst quarter on defense this year. You want to guess what it is?
I'm hoping you're going to tell me it's the first, but
it's the first quarter,
okay,
man.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's some good. I like the
according
like
to Bill Connolly's S&P Plus, the first quarter is the only quarter in which NC State's defense is not in the top 50.
I like it. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Florida State scores a field goal and a touchdown. They'll get off
in the first quarter.
They are going to score 10 points in the first quarter, and we will all have kind of a sarcastic celebration that they record their first touchdown against a FBS team or a
Man,
Power 5 team.
The route is on.
Yes.
I like it. That's pretty special there. If that happens, I mean, if in all seriousness, if that happens, you really could blow this team out.
Well, anything else particular about NC State's offense that we want to touch on before we move over to the defense real quickly?
Yeah, they really have not done a great job, and I want to get the exact numbers on this. I was looking at some of their highlights earlier, and I was kind of noticing some themes here. Jalen Samuels, who's their sort of like H-back tight end type, he has 34 catches on the year. Nobody else has more than 20, except for running back Matt Days. Their leading receiver has 21 catches. Their number two receiver has 17. Their number three receiver has 16, and those are all, you know, pretty young guys. They don't really present great threats at receiver, and so typically, from what I've seen so far, they're not winning a whole lot of one-on-one balls, and they're not really consistently beating you. How they're going to hurt you is if you get caught up in misdirection and play action and that type of stuff, kind of like how Wake Forest used to spring guys wide open. Now, and this defense has been vulnerable to that at times this year, but they do seem to be playing a little bit better with that. Certainly, I think that NC State will see how poorly Florida State's linebackers handled some of the things that Clemson did, which is why I advocated earlier this week for a change at linebacker coach, because I feel like those guys are poorly coached this year. NC State will certainly try to do some of that, but given them the general profile of the offense, They're much better kind of inside than they are outside. Their receivers are not huge threats, or at least they've not been so far this year.
NC State's defense, again, we're not going to go too micro with this, but defense coordinator Dave Huxtable, that'll be a name that's familiar to anybody that has any overlap with the UCF program. A pretty well-traveled defense coordinator, a guy who spent some time in the league and has a pretty aggressive defense and a strong front seven, if you're going to highlight a strength of NC State, at least in my opinion. But what do you think this team scheme will look like? Obviously, Dalvin will be heavily focused on anytime you're going to play Dalvin Cook. That's the first thing you probably address when you're on defense. But coming off a game, or at least coming off the series of games that he's had recently, probably in as good a form as he's been in his career. And when you talk about Dalvin, that's a strong statement, but what do you expect from the NC State team on defense?
And they are big up front. They're actually, I think, across the board, bigger than Clemson up front. Now, I don't
That's
think
good.
They're not as talented as Clemson, right? But like just pure physical size, they really want to stop the run. They are a team that's going to kind of make you throw on them. And you know, here their defensive ends, 280, 278, 275 are their top three kids. That's big, man. That's really big. Inside, 312, 313. Backups, 323, 315. Their backers are big, too. I mean, 220, 240, 237, 229. They do play kind of a more 425 look a lot of times with the nickel backer in there, who's kind of one of those, you know, 205-type pounder-looking kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they are really big up front. And interesting stat here, I'll give you all. Check this out. They are 124th in the country defensively in the percentage of runs against them on early downs. What does that mean? Well, I think what it means is that teams have identified these guys are really, really good stopping the run with, you know, having their defensive linemen beat blocks against the run. But maybe that they're vulnerable in their base defense to giving up the pass. Now, this is both good and bad. Look, Florida State has talent at receiver, maybe not as much as some of us would like. And so you should be able to get some decent one-on-one matchups here. And to his credit, Jimbo Fisher did a great job of scheming some guys open against Clemson. Unfortunately, DeAndre Francois was just horribly inaccurate in that game. I mean, I think that at the final count, he had like 9 just completely uncatchable throws, which is way too many. And a lot of those were on early downs, where Florida State had a good passing look, and all of a sudden, it didn't have a good passing look anymore, right? Because, oh no, just a terrible ball on first down when there's no pressure. All of a sudden, you're 3rd and 10, and guess what? There is a lot of pressure. I think Florida State will have a somewhat similar game plan where they do try to throw the football on first down. You got to be able to hit those. If you can't, you deserve to lose, because teams are certainly going to load up to stop Dalvin. And at least I would, and I'm sure NC State, after watching what Dalvin did to Clemson, will try to do something similar. If DeAndre Francois can hit those early throws, then I think Florida State can have a lot of success, because it does change somewhat what NC State wants to do on defense. But they have a very strong defensive line. I think their linebackers are, you know, they're big. I don't know if they're great. I would certainly try to test them some in pass coverage, and then their secondary overall has kind of been a weakness on the year. So I think you got to at least tempt that. They're not necessarily the greatest pass rushers, though. Like, they do a good job pushing the pocket, but I don't know if they have necessarily quite as many speed rushers as like, let's say, Clemson did on the outside. Also worth noting here, as first reported by Tomahawk Nation,
mm-hmm.
David Visser and Andrew Miller on this one. Landon Dickerson is now out for the year with a torn ACL. So I think Wilson Bell or Derek Kelly will probably take his spot. That's not necessarily a good thing when a guy who was a true freshman starter is out. That's a tough place to play, by the way. Like, NC State, we've both been there in person, I think. It gets legitimately much louder than people realize. That's not an easy place to go into.
It's a tight fit. It's a real tight fit as far as you're talking about relationship of the field to the stands and the stadium. I have taken that in person a couple times as well.
I think it's louder than Virginia Tech.
Much better atmosphere than people give it credit for. And the Dickerson injury, but I'm glad you touched on that, and I was about to bring it up as well. Honestly, the thing that bothers me the most about that is he'll be able to go, you would think, by the beginning of next year. But I just wonder how much that impacts his curve as far as how he develops. And certainly a guy that if you're going to kind of weather a season like this, you hope that your true freshman guard can come out on the other side and be the player that a lot of people think. And there's certainly a lot of potential there. I'm not saying his career is a lost cause by any means, but I'm really more disappointed in this injury as far as how it could potentially impact 2017 more than I am perhaps how it shapes this weekend or any other matchup that Florida State might encounter in the 2016 season.
Completely agree with you there. I mean, this season is this is already a lost season. Now, I heard that some other shows were trying to talk about how what could make the season a success Not even beating Clemson would make the season a success. I think we've stood pretty firm on that. This is going to range from somewhere between disappointment and disaster. I don't think the Clemson loss really changes that all that much. But if you lose this ball game, then, I mean, to excuse the punter, it's a whole new ball game. This is a game Florida State does need to go out and win. I think the guy you really got to watch out for, pass rushing wise, for NC State is Kentavious Street, who already has 4.5 sacks and is a player that Florida State fans will remember. I think quite a lot because Florida State recruited him back in the day. And then Bradley Chubb, their other defensive end, 6'4", 275, already has 6 sacks on the year, 11.5 tackles for loss. So they do a good job up front. And, you know, look, the 2 of the 3 games they've lost, they really they faced a lot better quarterbacks in Watson and Lamar Jackson than what Florida State puts out there. I mean, right now, Florida State's DeAndre Francois is coming off his worst game of the year, both statistically and quality of play. So that's something that we got to – that makes this game hard to predict in some ways. Like, does he have a bounce-back game? Is he going to be more accurate? Who knows? Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. I think that Fisher has – I don't like using the term dumb down the offense, but I think customize the offense – to a large extent now, with the exception of, look, he's not a spread coach, so Jimbo's not going to be very good at putting in some of these spread concepts that Francois would probably be pretty good at. But within the context of this offensive structure, I think that they really simplified and customized a decent bit over the last couple of weeks. And there's no real system that you can run if the quarterback just can't hit the broadside of a barn on just simple stuff. So that to me is the number one key. Can Francois make the easy throws? Because you can't have, you know, 8, 9, 10 non-competitive throws, just throws where there's no chance for a receiver to catch the ball when you're only dropping back 30 times in a game. That just kills drives and kills offense.
Yeah, you certainly can't pair that with the propensity to maybe take a bad sack or anything else. Just too many plays that you remove. You know, it's like having maybe baseball's on the mind with the World Series that we all got to watch last night.
What a game that was!
Like having multiple guys in your lineup that just have don't do anything to you offensively. There's only so many spots, so many plays that you can give away, I guess is my point. And when you've got some inaccuracy that you're dealing with, more of it than I think we've seen in any other game. And then you're also dealing with propensity to maybe hold onto the ball a little bit longer. There's just too many negative plays, too many situations where you're just destructive in what you're trying to do offensively. So,
and to continue the baseball analogy, I think the offensive line, like when they miss a block, they don't have to miss it by not touching anybody. like this is sort of like, okay, maybe you don't get to a ball in the outfield, but you catch it on the bounce. You don't have to let the damn ball go over your head.
Right.
Right. Like look, Clemson's going to whip you on third down if you get to like third and long. Like we expected that. If you go back to our preview episode, that's what we said, I think, like almost verbatim. It's like, look, if you're in long down to distance, you're toast. But not every team is going to be like that. And NC State is not Clemson's front. They're good, but they're not Clemson level. I mean, can you give Francois a little more time on some of those third downs? And as a team, can they stop false starting? You know, they had 6 against Clemson or 5, but 2 of them were on Izzo. One was on a Rudolph, who don't even play offensive line. They need to play with a little bit better focus if they're going to go out and have a decent win here. You know, something that doesn't take a lot of focus to get to because it's located conveniently right in College Town is Madison Social, the top bar and restaurant there at Florida State, upscale pub grub right in the shadow of Doak Campbell Stadium in Ingram. I was just up there for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, Florida State is a fine place to recruit to. And that outdoor patio at Madison Social is really a great place to enjoy any drink, whether it be an Old Cast style Bloody Mary, which is their house Bloody Mary, couple shots of Louisiana hot sauce because we have that Brent's energy going on, and a big slider on top, or perhaps a craft beer or cocktail. Any of those things are great, and you guys should absolutely go do those on the patio there at Madso. They've been a great supporter of ours for a couple of years running now, and love having them as a sponsor.
Absolutely, we do. And Bud, you can make your way physically over to Madso and enjoy the scenery that you talked about and enjoy that patio. Or here's a game changer, and I'm one to not even be a fan of using that phrase as it might be overused, but Centrale, Bud, you can bring Centrale to you. Delivery is possible with that. Full menu is available, if I have understood Matt correctly. And if you're in the Tallahassee area and you're looking for a delivery dish, you're looking to have food delivered, that's something that hadn't previously been offered as far as what you can get from them, and would encourage that to keep that in the back of your mind for the listeners who are located in Tallahassee or those who make their way up there with or down there with any kind of frequency.
Egram, that is the new brunch menu item alert from Centrale as well. As we told you in the last podcast, they're unveiling new brunch menu items every day this week in anticipation of their coming full brunch menu this weekend. And look, they have great pizza there, but that's not all they do with that brick oven. They're versatile. It's kind of like Dalvin Cook this year is finally catching the ball. Madso and the restaurant group at Centrale, they're using the brick oven for brick oven French toast. So you got baked French toast with a blueberry compote mascarpone cream. That's hard to beat, man. Also, you want to talk about like attacking a hangover and coming out in the first quarter of your Sunday if you hit it hard on Saturday? Don't be like Florida State's offense. Come out there and actually get that hangover beat so you can go have a good Sunday. And that oven French brick oven French toast, it's spot.
Damn. Yeah, I was unfamiliar with that item. That is
pretty good ad read, huh?
That is strong. Well done, guys. That is why I love them. You don't have to be too creative to put their product in a good light. So always enjoy the opportunity to thank Madison Social and all that they've done and all that they've made possible with this podcast. So, but anything else we want to discuss about NC State in particular, Saturday night kickoff, ESPNU for those who are looking for the TV location and a game that you probably weren't done any favors by a Saturday evening. But again, I would question as to how much enthusiasm that fan base is really going to show. And certainly if you put any kind of doubts into the back of their mind or start to question the product, that place could clear out pretty early. So
also, don't they have like the halftime reentry thing?
I know UVA is huge or was super large on the halftime reentry. And I think NC State, I believe you can go out in the parking lot and re-enter there as well, Bud. So, yeah, I think you are right about that. And, yeah, why don't you just go on out to the parking lot and, you know, if I'm down 17 points and I'm an NC State fan, I might take it somewhere else rather than choosing to re-enter.
I totally agree with you, man. I think that's very possible that could happen in this ball game. So I think it's predictions time.
It is. Struggled with this game a little bit. I certainly have some concerns that others have voiced and have some concerns about Florida State. And I don't know that I'm really justified in this, but I feel mildly optimistic about this. And I think Florida State wins, and I think they cover, but I see Florida State winning a 10-point game, maybe somewhere in the area, 27-17.
27-17, so that would be a cover for Florida State, but the bigger bet there would be the under. That's only 40. That's only 44 combined points, and right now the over-under is 58.
I like the under here.
Ingram, I think I do too, so you're going 20. You said 27-17.
Yes.
Man, I'm right there with you. I really think that this game will probably go under, you know, and I think like 27-24 for me. I'm going to take the Noles close. I don't really – look, I think there are legitimate scenarios where Florida State can win this game and win it big even. I mean, hell, maybe they go 35-17 or 42-17 or something. But and that would involve, like, coming out early and playing with focus and not committing, like, three or four penalties per quarter, especially on offense. Unfortunately, you really can't predict that to happen because their track record, not only in road games out of the state under Jimbo Fisher when he doesn't have Jameis, that's a pretty strong trend, but also just this team in general, whenever it plays a Power 5 team, their first quarter performance is just so bad. Maybe they'll break that in this game. It's certainly possible. But until they actually do it, I'm going to probably, I think I'm going to go 27-24 Noles. That's only 51 points, which is still an underplay there. But the wager would be more NC State. Close.
Fair enough. Hopefully we've given people just an idea as to what they might see on Saturday night. It is hard to say anything about this team with a certain degree of confidence, and that in and of itself is a little bit of an indicator as to what we think about the team overall. But interested to see how they respond against Clemson. Maybe I'm being naive or overly optimistic to think that they respond and try to play the positive off of that game and have a little bit of a refocus. And look, if you go up there and win that game, then maybe you could set yourself up for a nice little ending that helps you position yourself as positively as possible for 2017. But there's no real salvaging of this season. As we've said for a couple of weeks, it's all kind of really playing for pride and playing to set yourself up as well as possible for the year following.
No doubt about it. We got anything else for tonight?
I think that'll do it. We'll table the recruiting discussion and circle back to that and maybe have a little bit of a conversation that we've been meaning to have for a couple of weeks as far as how this season has played out on the field and how that might impact recruiting for Florida State, certainly, but also for a couple programs nationally and throughout the Southeast. But for Bud, I think that'll do us as far as the NC State preview. And I look forward to hearing your instant reaction, and we will circle back and put another one of these together first of next week.
All right, buddy. Take it easy, man. We'll convene again next week. And shout out to the sponsors. Shout out to everybody who wants to give a 5-star review on iTunes. It's been an interesting ride this season, but I feel like the product is still a good one. And if you're still consuming about an hour and a half, 2 hours of Noles podcast a week, we know you're a pretty good diehard who really cares about the program and invests a lot of their time and money into it. So thanks, guys.